8 of them in total. Think of them in the ark. We could say of that family that they had been in lockdown, they'd probably been the first family in all the history of this world ever to have had such an experience. We have been in lockdown for maybe 4 months, 16 weeks, thereabouts. We remember that they were in the ark for just over a year. If you count the week they were in the ark before the rain fell, my understanding is they were in the ark for 1 year and 17 days. For a year and almost 3 weeks longer. So the reality is they spend a lot of time together in that close environment. Think of all of the challenges. But in the passage that we have read, Genesis 8, lockdown is now over. If you notice the words of the 16th verse, it tells us the Lord said, "Go forth." So it's clear for Noah and his family, lockdown has ended. As a family, they're coming out of the ark, coming out of lockdown. But I want you to think of this question. What did Noah do when he came out of the ark? That period of great restriction. I think that's a good question for us to consider. I think it would be very helpful, very instructive for us to ask that question this morning. What did Noah do when he came out of lockdown? And the answer, men and women, is this. He worshipped. He worshipped the Lord. And that's what our text is all about. It's telling us, it says, Noah builded an altar. Remember, as you consider Noah, when you think of Noah, you always remember him as the man that built the ark. Well, here's something else that Noah built, very significant. It begins with A as well. He didn't just build an ark. Noah also built an altar. And he fell down and he worshipped God. And that's very instructive for us as the Lord's people. Noah could be described as the man who fell down after lockdown. When he came out of the ark, the first thing was he fell down at that altar to lift his heart in deep gratitude to the Lord. Can I point out to you that Noah is a great example to us as Christians because he had a very balanced Christian life. Sometimes that's not true. There are people who are very extreme in the Christian life that they live. But Noah had a very balanced Christian life. Remember, he's a man that walked with God. And he walked with God on an evil day. So that's an encouragement to us. We live in very evil days. But it's possible, brethren and sisters, to walk with God. There's only two men in all the Bible that is said of, Noah and Enoch. As well as walking with God, he also worked for God. Remember, he built the ark. And he built that ark as the world laughed and scorned. We teach the children when we're singing the chorus, "Mr. Noah built an ark." The people thought it such a lark. So he worked with God even though all around him were mocking him. As well as that, he witnessed for God in his day and generation. The Bible says specifically of Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. So I encourage you, maintain your witness for the Lord, how important it is in the days in which we live. As well as that, he waited for God. If you read the account that's given in the earlier part of chapter 8, he didn't leave the ark until the Lord said so. Maybe that's the word you need from God today. Wait on the Lord. Be patient until he opens the door of opportunity for you. So he had a balanced Christian life. And now we find that he's worshipping the Lord. We could put it like this. Public worship in the earth is being restored again. After the flood, public worship being restored. And how significant, brethren and sisters, because that's exactly where we find ourselves today in this land of ours. So there's some lessons about Noah at worship that I want you to think about just very quickly with me. Noah at worship as he came out of lockdown. Some instruction we can receive from that. Think of the question, first of all, when he worshipped. You find that in verse 18. It says, Noah went forth. So when did Noah worship? Well, it was after the flood, after the storm, after the crisis. I'm sure that he and his family worshipped God in the ark as well. But here he sets us a good example of what to do whenever the Lord brings you and your family safely through the crisis. when the Lord brings you and your family safely through that very trying, that very unusual time, he sets us an example of what to do, and it is you should worship the Lord. At that time, you should give him praise and thanks for his goodness and mercy to you. And it's important to note in the chapter that this was the first thing Noah did after the flood. Before he tended the animals, before he built a house, before he planted a seed, he took time to worship God. And the lesson, brethren and sisters, is clear. Worship should have priority. Priority in your life, priority in your home. Can I ask you just to take a moment to consider the question, is that true of you? Remember, one way to demonstrate that worship has priority in your life and in your family is by being at the meetings, by being faithful in the house of God, faithful in your attendance when the doors of the Lord's house are open. The Savior said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The things of God, men and women, should have first place in your day, first place in your week. You should begin every week with God by coming to his house to worship him. Isn't it sad that worship, the cause of the gospel, doesn't have the priority in our land, doesn't have the priority with our government that it should? I've not a doubt that's why the Lord has been speaking in such a clear way all across the earth at this time. Our land needs a revival of worship, a revival of the worship of God. So let's pray that that will come at this time as we all, by the mercy of God, come out of lockdown again. So that's when he worshipped. Think of why he worshipped. If you look there right back to the beginning of the chapter, the first verse, look at those lovely words, and God remembered Noah. What a mercy that is, men and women. You know, in times of trouble, it's easy to feel forsaken. It's the normal human feeling or the normal human emotion. You can feel forgotten, forsaken. The psalmist said, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? And maybe you have felt like that over these last few weeks and months. But here we're told something very lovely. God remembered Noah. Can I point out the word that's used there, remember, it doesn't mean that God had forgotten Noah while he was in the storm and while he was in the ark. Remember, God can't forget anything. God can't forget anyone. God is omniscient. He has a perfect knowledge, an omnipotent or an omniscient knowledge. There's no limits to the knowledge of our God. The idea of this word is to pay attention to fulfill a promise for, or to act on their behalf. There are several people, actually, in the Bible that it's recorded that God remembered them. It's an interesting study. God remembered Abraham. And because of that, God rescued Lot out of Sodom. God remembered Rachel. And when God remembered Rachel, he caused her to conceive and to bear children. So it's a very interesting study. And the idea is God fulfills his promise. God acts on behalf of those people. And that's what the Lord did here for Noah. Noah holds the honor of being the first person in the Bible that it's recorded of that God remembered them. The first person to be described in that way. God had kept his word for his servant. God had kept Noah and his family. He had preserved them. He had never forgotten them, never forsaken them through all the days of that great flood, the days of that great storm. And that's why Noah worshipped. Why he fell down before the Lord in deep gratitude and praise. And brethren and sisters, that's why you should worship the Lord too. Every one of us here can say today that the Lord remembered us. The Lord remembered you too. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. The Lord watched over you, kept you alive, brought you again to his house. So we need to praise him today for his love, for his care, for his provision, and for his preservation of each one of us. Think of another question. Who worshipped? Well, if you look at verse 18, it says, and Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Think of the words at the end of that verse. talking of the whole family, and it says, with him. So who worshipped God at this time? The answer is Noah's family, the whole family, bowed down at the altar. There were none missing, none absent. And how important that is, men and women. Do you remember the words that's recorded of Noah and his family connected with the flood? In the book of Hebrews, it says he prepared an ark. So why did he prepare the ark? To the saving of his house. Can I say, brethren and sisters, to you, that that should be the chief burden upon your heart every day in the bringing up of your children in connection with your own family, to the saving of your house. Do all that you can to win them to Christ, to know that they're saved and ready for eternity. But God was faithful. God had saved Noah's whole family. So this was family worship. There used to be what they called the family pew. Some of you will remember that. All the family sat together in God's house. No such thing as sitting in a different place from the rest of your family. They worshiped together. And that's what happened here at this altar that Noah built. It was like the family pew. There was family worship that took place. Can I stress, brethren and sisters, can I stress how important it is for the family to worship together? There is a place for personal worship. Don't forget, don't neglect your quiet time every day. But remember that the family, it's important also for the family to worship, what we call family worship. That should be done privately at home, around the altar, the family altar. Do you notice those words in the book of Philemon? It talks about the church in thy house. In the New Testament times, they didn't have church buildings, so they met in larger homes owned by the more wealthy members of the congregation. But it also has the idea of the family in that home meeting together to worship the Lord privately in their own home. But when we think of family worship, we need to emphasize that it's done publicly as well, not just in your home. We've had to do that by constraint over these last number of months. But I want to stress that family worship should be done publicly, also in the house of God. Do you remember when the Saviour was left behind at Jerusalem? We're told in Luke's Gospel that they thought that they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And the idea, if you think of all that happened there, they left Nazareth, went up to Jerusalem. The idea is that they had been to the temple. They had been to Jerusalem. And they'd been there to worship. And they'd been there to worship as a family, as a family unit. And that reminds us, brethren and sisters, of what God intends. And the Saviour himself, from his earliest days, sets us an example of that. So I urge you and your family today to do the same. So when he worshipped, why he worshipped, who worshipped, the last one is, what was offered in the worship? If you note the end of our text, the verse 20, it says that Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. We did go through the offerings of the Lord, the Levitical offerings on the Sabbath evening last year. Can remind you that in the burnt offering, everything went on the altar. There was nothing kept back. The book of Leviticus says, chapter 1, all on the altar. What that symbolizes is, remember, it's a picture of Christ. He gave his all for us. But it also challenges us, brethren and sisters, of the need of a complete consecration of ourselves to God. And the message here that Noah gives is because of the Lord's mercy, because of the Lord's protection, because of the Lord's supply for him, Noah and his family were dedicating themselves again to God and to his will for their lives. And I want to urge you, everyone, to do the same. As you worship God today in this meeting, in this house, I want to encourage you, give yourself to him. Give yourself to God's will. Give yourself to God's service. Give yourself to him totally, completely, unreservedly. Do you remember what Paul said of the Corinthians they first gave their own selves to the Lord. Will you do that today? The first Sabbath day back after lockdown, the first gift that you will give to God as you meet here in His house, will you give yourself, your heart, your life, your all to Him? Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Think of His mercy. That's the motive for what we give. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's the great difference, remember, between the Old Testament and New Testament sacrifices. The Old Testament sacrifices were dead. God wants you to give a living sacrifice. He wants to give yourself, your body, your life to Him. So that's what the Lord wants you to do in this meeting. He wants you to give your talents. He wants you to give your all to live for Him in whatever time you have in return for His great mercy to you. So living for God, brethren and sisters, after lockdown. I'll say this as a finish. You'll notice this is chapter 8. In fact, it's the first chapter 8 in all the Bible. Generally, when you think of encouraging chapters in the Word of God, you would consider Romans chapter 8 in the New Testament. But I want you to see what an encouragement there is here in Genesis chapter 8 as well. This is a very encouraging portion of the Word of God for such a time as we find ourselves in. Can I remind you that 8 in the Scriptures is the number of a new beginning. So this was a new beginning. New beginning for Noah's life. New beginning in Noah's family. In fact, we could say, even way beyond that, it was a new beginning for the whole world. He was stepping out onto a completely cleansed world. We talk about the new heavens and the new earth. And you have a great picture of it there and what happened way back in Noah's time. But it was a new beginning for Noah, especially with God, and especially in the worship of God. Maybe you've grown a little cold, a little careless in those things. So I want to urge you, brethren and sisters, let it be the same for you. Let it be the same in your life, and let it be the same in your home. Let us give ourselves to God more, to His worship and to His service than we have ever done before, in deep gratitude for His goodness to us over these last weeks. We're going to come to sing a couple of verses just as we finish. 724, they're words of praise.